It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Jackie Robinson became the first African-American to play baseball in the major leagues in 1947, paving the way for ultimately thousands of talented athletes who had been denied opportunities because of their race.
Earlier this year, Major League Baseball announced that it would incorporate statistics from the Negro Leagues in its record books. Dennis Biddle, who played for a year with the Chicago American Giants in 1953, was one of the last people to play in the Negro Leagues.
In 1996, he formed yesterday's Negro League Baseball Players Foundation to advocate for former players and keep the memory of the leagues alive. Biddle spoke with Lee Rayburn about what it means to recognize the leagues and the achievements of black baseball players.
You played for the Negro League Chicago American Giants in the early 1950s. You were 17 years old. Take us back to that time and what it was like to play in this league, Dennis.
Well, I was just out of high school. I had an opportunity to go to college and play football and on a scholarship and... But they told me I couldn't play baseball, and I really wanted to play baseball. I got a phone call from a scout from the Negro Baseball League, saw me pitch in the Farmers' state championship game, and asked me if I would like to play for the Chicago American Giants in the Negro League. I didn't know anything about the Negro League. I'm from a little town in Arkansas, Magnolia, Arkansas. So I didn't know anything about the Negro League, but he said, you're going to get paid. And that kind of sealed thing when he said I was going to get paid because I was going to do something I love and then get paid for it. I went to Chicago, tried out for the team, and the rest is history. I became a 17-year-old Negro League baseball player, 1953.
What was the camaraderie like among your teammates? What was it like to play with black ball players?
You have to understand that Negro League team, during the time when I came in, was had changed somewhat. It was like a training ground for the young player. You got to remember that Jackie had opened the door in 47. So that most of the Negro League team became training ground for the major league. And incidentally, that was a long-range goal of Branch Rickey to use the Negro League as a minor league system for the major league, but it never materialized. A lot of us came through that way. Hank Aaron, Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, we all were prepared for the major league by these teams the Negro League team that we were on. And we all had the long binding contract. This is what the historians and writers don't know. We were put on the long binding contract, which means if a major league team were interested, they had to purchase that contract from the team we were on. And the team we were on would get enough money to pay those older guys that was training us to keep the league going.
So Dennis Biddle, Major League Baseball decided earlier this year to include statistics from seven Negro leagues in its record books. What's your feeling about this and how the Major League Baseball is finally recognizing players of the Negro leagues?
For 30 years, I've been advocating for the living players of the Negro Baseball League. And it's all in my book, how it was done. And I was, thanks to Bud Seeley who helped me, give benefits for some of the players, but the criteria they set was 4 years. And most of the players did not qualify under that guideline. So I was asking for any player that played 1 year or more in the Negro League to get a pension, but I never received a letter back from the major leagues. Finally, June 28th of this year, the commissioner announced that any player, Negro League player still living that played less than 4 years will now receive the Major League pension. It's about 60 of us still living now.
What became of your baseball career, Dennis?
I went to college, became a social worker, worked 24 years for the state. We were all the living players. The Negro League was not talked about for 40 years, 25, 30 years or more. And the reason is because now black players were not playing in the major leagues and being scouted out of high school, colleges, and playgrounds now by the major leagues. So the Negro League could not compete. So they stopped talking about the Negro League as a whole, but they brought it back after 75-year anniversary of the Negro Baseball League. And that's when all of this started with me, because we were all assembled to Kansas City for the 75th anniversary. At that time, it was 350 players still living around the country. I organized the players, thanks to some good people, Marty Greenberg, Attorney Marty Greenberg from here, who helped me organize a foundation to represent the living players called Yesterday's Negro League Baseball Players Foundation. And that's the organization that represents, advocate for the living players of the Negro Baseball League. I am the president, and I started it, and I stayed with it until we received the benefits I thought we should be getting.
Dennis Biddle, our guest, played with the Chicago American Giants back in 1953 as part of the Negro Leagues, joining us to take a look at the history and how Major League Baseball is now embracing the history of the Negro Leagues. Is one of the programs of your foundation. It's called Bridging Gaps to Greatness.
Yes.
What's Bridging Gaps to Greatness do?
Well, that's the educational part of baseball. My wife, who's very instrumental in putting this together, she felt that we should start teaching our young people about the history of the baseball in general, but mainly the Negro Baseball League, and how the men struggle to get to the major leagues. And this is very important. That part of our history, they don't even talk about that much. And she felt, being a teacher, educator herself, she felt this should be something our young people should know. So she's the one put that together. She calls it the art of the game, but it's to educate our young people about the true history of the Negro Baseball League.
And the art of the game. Dennis Biddle, what did you learn from the game and your time in the Negro Leagues?
Well, it was like family to me. The team, I was always like family. I was only 17 years old when I started. A lot of things about life I didn't know. Those old men, and I'm grateful for them, and I know that's why I do what I did and doing, is they took me under the wing, took all of us young boys, young kids under the wings, and taught us the life skills, things that I needed to have to make it through this world, and I'm appreciative of it today. Some of them old men are still living. Most of them are gone home to glory now, but I'll never forget the thing that they put in me to make me the man I am today.
Dennis, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's Dennis Biddle. He played with the Chicago American Giants back in the early 1950s, speaking with us today about the Negro Leagues. And now we turn to Ken Bartelt, a doctoral student at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. And Ken wrote his master's thesis about black baseball teams that played in Wisconsin. Ken, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
So you and others have explored how Negro Leagues weren't just a sporting attraction. They were also black-owned businesses. What significance did this have during the era of Jim Crow?
Yeah, you look at the Negro Leagues and you can't really overstate how important they were to Black America during the Jim Crow period. It's really one of the first and most successful Black businesses on a nationwide scale. With World War I happening, you have Black folks moving in large numbers to urban centers in the North in search of wartime jobs. They're also fleeing the terrorism they were experiencing in the South. This kind of creates an environment where a Black baseball business could be viable. There had been Black teams, what they call barnstorming teams, that traveled throughout the country, but it's really not until you get these large populations of Black folks in cities in the North that a league becomes viable. And you're going to get the first really successful league with the Negro National League in 1920, founded by Rube Foster out of Chicago.
Dennis mentioned that, you know, Jackie Robinson broke into the major leagues back in 1947. But how long were the Negro Leagues around after Major League Baseball began integration?
Yeah, as Mr. Biddle was discussing, the Negro Leagues did continue, you know, another decade or so after integration, but their business model certainly changed. They did sort of become a pseudo farm system or training ground for future Black major leaguers. And as Dennis mentioned, the some great players like a Hank Aaron or Ernie Banks, Willie Mays, kind of cut their teeth in the Negro Leagues. And these leagues help provide an opportunity for this young Black talent. They, while the money that the Negro League teams got was important in maintaining their operations, it can be argued they were not being compensated enough for the talent of the players that they had. And it was really difficult for the Negro Leagues to stay in business after integration because a lot of Black fans, they started going and watching the Black Stars play in the Major League games, particularly with Jackie Robinson, who had whole train lines that were established to carry Black fans to Brooklyn Dodgers games. And so as Black fans started spending their money on the white major leagues, there was a dip in attendance at the Negro League games. And that kind of had an unintended consequence of leading to their eventual demise.
What Black baseball teams existed in Milwaukee back in the day, Ken?
There were a good number of them, but the two main ones I focused on in my research played during the 1920s. The first was a traveling team called the McCoy Nolan Giants, and they actually moved to Milwaukee from Canada. They were a team called the Calgary Black Sox, and they relocated to Milwaukee in 1922. They were called the McCoy Nolan Giants because they were owned by a white businessman named John McCoy in Milwaukee. And he named the team after his plumbing supply company as kind of an advertising operation. And that was actually a common model. The McCoy Nolan team was very successful. So in 1923, Rube Foster gives Milwaukee a franchise in the Negro Leagues. And that team became the Milwaukee Bears. And this is the team that the Milwaukee Brewers honor every year when they wear their, you know, throwback Negro League uniforms. And so the Milwaukee Bears, they played one season in Milwaukee, and it didn't go so well. Their record that year was only 14-52-1. They had a single tie. So, you know, that's not great. They actually only played the better part of 4 months in Milwaukee. They had a really hard time drawing fans in Milwaukee, and so the league actually relocated them to Toledo. The Bears did take part in a really important moment in Black baseball history, and that's that they played in one of the first games that was ever umpired by Black men. Huh. When the Negro Leagues were founded in 1920, they didn't have a slate of umpires. Each team would hire umpires for a given game independently, but they all hired white guys. Understandably, they caught a lot of flack in the Black newspapers. There was also the optics of white men policing Black men on the field. And 1923, Rube Foster finally gives in and he hires a slate of Black men to be umpires. And on April 28th, right here in Milwaukee at Orchard Field, the Bears played in one of the first games that was umpired by Black men when two guys, Leon Augustine and Lucien Snare, both served as the umpires. So I think that warrants celebration as well.
Ken Bartelt is a doctoral student at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and Ken wrote his master's thesis about Black baseball teams that played in Wisconsin. Ken, how do you see the legacy of these teams and what it did for the baseball culture in Milwaukee and across Wisconsin?
Milwaukee's Black population in 1923 was less than 0.5% of the city's total population. It's only 2,229 people. It was mostly white fans that came to their games. But if you look at these traveling teams, like the McCoy Nolan Giants, wherever they would travel, they would draw people from the local Black communities. I have newspaper clippings when they would go up to Green Bay and play in Green Bay. There would be, you know, members of the Black community in Green Bay would come and watch this traveling black team. And I think that is really the legacy of the Negro Leagues, is the way that it was a black run institution that instilled pride in black communities.
Ken, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Lee Rayburn spoke with Dennis Biddle, who played for the Chicago American Giants in 1953, and Ken Bartelt, a doctoral candidate at UW-Milwaukee, who wrote about Milwaukee's black baseball team for his master's thesis. Biddle and other players will be honored in Milwaukee at the Brewers' annual Negro Leagues tribute game that happens on August 18th, and Biddle's foundation will hold several events in the city in conjunction with that game.